And I believe it's a word for our church family. It's a word for all church family. It's a word for all believers. But you're my church family, so I am assigned to tell you this. The Lord just has said a few different ways to me that church is not a social club. Church is not a place to find your spouse, even though you may find your spouse here. Church is not a place to find your social connections, even though you may find your social connections at church. It's not a place to build business relationships, even though that may happen as well, et cetera, et cetera. Fill in the blank, okay? He just kind of went down the list like that to me. He said, church is about getting equipped for this time that we're in. Church is about getting equipped for this time that we're in. The Bible says that, the job of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for ministry, right? This is a very important time in church life on planet Earth, and this is not a time to be casual about your church connections, where you go, what you do when you're here, the type of church you choose to go to, all of that. The Lord's just made it very, very, he sort of said it with a bit of, emphatically, that this is a big deal right now. And where you go to church is going to make the difference as to whether you're going to cruise through this next season beat up and bruised, maybe even with your legs cut out from under you, so to speak, or if you're going to be okay, and maybe even beyond okay, really thrive and have some victory, what you and I would consider victory on the earth. And he said that to me probably three different ways in the last week. And I believe I was just going to go into the rock class, but I believe I was supposed to release it now.
Good. We received that. Well, would you grab your Bible with me? iPhone, iPad. Remember the power of the spoken word and how it affects every molecule and cell of your body. Let's say together, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning I am going to give away what I'm going to talk about in the next four sermons leading up to Christmas. I'm going to share with you what God has laid upon my heart, and I want to just read the foundational verses for that. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people or a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you again that you brought Jesus back home with you. And I thank you that when he got back, that you sent your Spirit down so that not only would it land only on kings, not only on prophets, not only on your special messengers, but you sent him down and you poured him out on all flesh, including us. Your heart was to fill every one of your creation with your Spirit. And so I thank you today that we come into this place, Holy Spirit, with you inside of us. I thank you that you are there making us aware of the presence of the Father. I thank you that you are there helping us to hear what the Father is saying. I thank you that you are there giving us revelation to understand things we could never understand on our own. I thank you that you are there empowering us to see things we could never see without you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I thank you today that you have prepared our hearts, our mind, the mind of our heart, to receive from you a life-changing word. And so before we begin, Holy Spirit, I ask you to take literal possession of me. I ask you to take possession of my mind, my mouth, every part of me. I surrender myself to be an instrument for you to flow through. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have prepared every heart to be fertile soil for what you are going to sow this morning. Father, you just reminded me again that in these next minutes, you are going to be speaking things into the life of us, your children, things I'm not going to say. We love it when you speak that way. And so I declare today that every word you speak will be heard by those you're speaking to. They will capture it, and we believe one word from you changes everything. Have your way in this place. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, I got to tell you, it is almost a little bit hard to believe that we are 4 Sundays away from Christmas. Anybody thinking about that? It's like, wow, where did 2018 go? We got 4 Sundays. Pretty soon it's going to be January 1. We're going to be celebrating 2019, and it's all going to begin again. Isn't that something? But coming into this period of time, can I ask, how many of you is this your favorite season of the year? Christmas, favorite season? Yeah, how many of you is spring your favorite season of the year? Spring? How many of you is summer your favorite season of summer? How many of you love the fall? How many of you raised your hand at everything I just said? How many of you did that? Yeah, some of you did that. That's kind of like me. I love all the seasons, but I got to tell you, coming into Christmas time, into this time, it's really interesting. There's a lot going on, but you got to tell you, things slow down a little bit. Because everybody's busy doing other things, and so I love this season. I love it when it gets darker at night because it allows me to stay home and do things that I don't normally do. If it's light till 11, you're doing things till 11, you know what I mean? So to me, it kind of slows down. To me, this is fireplace time. To me, this is time for reading. To me, this is time. I love this season. But as God and I were praying about going into this Advent season, and where I've come to, I just go, Lord, what is it you're wanting to say? I used to majorly stress about God, what God was wanting to do, and I used to think you had to be smart to be a pastor and come up with something clever to say. Left that a long time ago because I realized I'm not smart enough to be a pastor. Neither are you. So the great thing is, when you're not smart enough to be, you just got to go, God, what do you want to say? And then you just shut up, and then you listen, and then he tells you, and then you go, oh, that was kind of cool. And then you realize he does that in every area of your life as well. You're not smart enough to be a farmer. You're not smart enough to be a business person. You're not smart enough to be married. You're not smart enough. You're not smart. I'm not smart enough. That's why we need him. Can I just say to you, the success rate with God is far greater than the success rate without God? Can I just say that to you? Maybe let's just close in prayer. That was good right there, wasn't it? That was good right there. So as the Lord and I were just talking, and I was just asking him about coming in and about... And I just got to tell you, this past week, God just downloaded everything we're going to be talking about in the church right up to the end of March. I got to tell you, I'm excited. I told Jane the other day, I'm excited for January 1. But I'm excited for December 2. But I was just talking yesterday, we were driving, and I just shared with her what God laid in my heart, where we're going in January and February and March. And so I'm excited. So God has an agenda, and I'm right in there. But as we were talking about December... And just spending time in the Word, all of a sudden the Lord just laid out and said, Carl, this is what I want you to focus on in the month of December. And I said, okay. And so then he just began fleshing it out. Now, I want to tell you that part of what God laid in my heart is that in these next number of weeks, what I want to share with you is not so much for me to preach at you as much as it is for me to lay something out that you will take and go home and you will begin to chew on, you will begin to meditate, you will begin to dig into. I believe that probably 90% of what you're going to get out of what I'm going to share is going to happen on your time alone as compared to your time here. So what I'm throwing out to you, God just laid in my heart and said, I just want you to throw it out. I will plant inside of them a desire to spend time and get into it and understand it, to chew on it. I'm praying for the cow anointing over you. Can I just say that? I'm praying for the cow anointing, that I'm going to stick a little bit of feed in you, and over this next week and month, you're going to just keep burping it back up and chewing your cud, and you're going to come out of it. Is that a great image? Isn't that good? Hey? When we edit the tape, we'll take that out. I don't want you to tell anybody what come out of church today that you said your pastor treated us like cows this morning. Don't say that, okay? We could get a reputation. I don't want a reputation. But this is what God laid in my heart, that what I'm going to share with you, I'm believing the Holy Spirit is going to capture you. You're going to go home and go, there is so much more to this. And as you dig into it, it's just going to come alive and alive and alive. So I'm telling you this morning, I'm not dumping off the whole truckload on every one of these, but I believe the Holy Spirit is going to stir something. So what we're doing out of the first Peter passage, and we know that verse that we've talked about and we've heard over and over and over again, that the Lord asked me to take all four of those in that first Peter passage and spend a Sunday in each one. So what I would like to do, I'd like to give you an image, a picture, that if God were to give a gift for you and I, and he bought us four gifts and stuck them under the tree, that the Lord said, I want you to wrap up each one of them, and I want you to open it up, and what you share is going to be my gift to the body. That'll be my gift to the body in order to change and bless them this year. I just need to begin by asking you a question. When you open a gift, how many of you just rip it, or how many of you open it gently? How many of you open it gently and save the paper? How many of you do that? That is just so weird, isn't it? How many of you just grab it and just rip and tear and you get right in there? Yeah, that's me too. I'm a rip and tear, but because I might reuse this one, I'm going to be gentle. So would you, I just thought I would do it for you weird people. I've seen some of you. You save it, you wrap it up. Do you use it again? Do you use it again? Can I tell you, just shut the tape off for a second, because I don't want to talk about family. My mom saves birthday cards, and she puts them out again next year. Because she goes, those were so beautiful. She goes, I just love those words on there. So she puts them away, and she brings them out again, and she just, isn't that weird? Is that beautiful? Is that? Look at how well I did that. You'll never see that again. Can I just tell you that? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So what the Lord just said, I want you to open every Sunday, I want you to open a gift that I'm going to give you, want you to take out of it, and I'm going to hang it on the tree. These are such beautiful decorations. Can you see that? Okay. I am gracing our tree with homemade gifts. Okay. Oh, get over it. So this morning, coming out of 1 Peter, this is what it says, and we've all heard this before. That says, chosen race. He goes, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession. This morning, what I want to just throw out with you is the reality that God says to you and to me, he goes, you are a chosen race. Now, I just got to lay it out the way God gave it. How many of you have ever been chosen for something that was very special? You've been blessed by it. How many of you have been chosen by something? Some of you have. Let me tell you my first one. I don't even know how old I was. I think I was 4 years of age. And growing up in Westlock, we had some kind of an activity that was taking place in town. We went there and they had a draw for a big radio, like a big honking radio like this. So my mom and dad put my name in along with all of us kids and stuck their name in for the draw. And I remember being at home, 4 years of age, on the farm, and I remember getting the phone call. My mom got it. The phone call, my name was picked of all the names in the draw for the radio. My name was picked. I remember her coming and saying to you, call, you want a radio. Now, I had to think about what a radio was, but you want a radio. And I remember going and picking that radio up, 4 years of age. I remember picking that radio up. I remember that radio was in our home for all those years. I remember every time when I looked at that radio, I felt special. Because I had been picked out of all the people. I have no idea how many were in there, but I got picked. I won that radio. There was something about being chosen out of that whole mass that did something for me as a kid. I got to just tell you, this past week, Sheldon and I had an opportunity to get together, and Sheldon was excited to tell me something. And I said to him, "Shel, would you be open if I had you share that on Sunday?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll share it. And I just want you to hear this. Just hear this."
So he was excited about a radio. I spent about 2 months looking for jeans, and being picky as I am, I couldn't find any. So finally I went out and spent an arm and a leg on a pair of jeans, filled my name out for a draw, got a call the next day, won a free pair of jeans. So
I'll just ask a dumb, how did that make you feel?
Pretty excited.
Did you hear that male voice? I was excited to win jeans, yeah. I thought that was awesome.
That's funny.
I thought that was awesome. I thought, isn't that just like God? And first thing Sheldon said to me, he goes, "Man," he says, "I spent way more on those other jeans than I was hoping to." And then when he got the phone call and got the other ones for free, it just kind of equalized, and it was like, whoa, that's God, isn't it? And I got to tell you, I mean, two grown men in a restaurant, we were excited about a pair of jeans. I was excited he got chosen. There's something about that, isn't there? I have to, I got to just say this. A number of years ago, way back a lot of years ago, I said to Jane, I said, "We've never bought lottery tickets. I'm not even going to ask you if you do. We won't go there." But going into the new year, we were talking about resolution. I said, "Jane," I said, "what would you think if we made a resolution to buy a lottery ticket twice a week on the Saturday and on the Wednesday and do the lottery ticket?" I said, "What would you think about that?" We won't answer that today. So we decided that we would do it. We picked our numbers, and it lasted, I think I went down there probably 5 times, and then I totally forgot. And then I remembered again a number of weeks later, and I went and I bought another one, totally forgot. About 6 months later, we reminded ourselves and said, "Oh, we totally forgot we were buying lottery tickets." And I think part of that had to do with the fact that God just removed that totally and said, "Carl, this isn't the way I want to prosper you, but I know there's people who do buy. Can I just ask you a question? What do you think, and we've seen it on TV, when someone out of millions of people, their name gets drawn, and they were chosen to win, whether it's a million or 300, some of those lotteries are crazy, right? Like 360-some million dollars. And then they get ticked off, they're losing half of it to tax. Oh, poor you, you're only taking home 165 million. Like, oh, let's have a pity party, right? But how do they feel? Now, can I just say this? This is kind of off on the side. People have made this statement and said money changes people. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Money doesn't change people. Money reveals people. All you have to do is give people a chunk of money, find out what they do with it, and that just tells you what's in there. A lot of people aren't doing it because they don't have the money to do it, but you give them the money, you're going to find out their character. I'll never forget years ago, I read someplace in a book, and I mean, people have told me too, they say, "You want to find out the real character of your pastor? Double his salary. You'll find out his character." So these people with the lottery, it is not by mistake that 90-some percent of the people who win the lottery, 2 years after that, are in worse condition, have greater debt, they got to declare bankruptcy because it revealed the character that is not able to handle that kind of funds. But the moment they get chosen, how do they feel? They need to wear Depends because it just moves them. They go to work and they tell their boss where to go. It's been pent up for years and years, and they tell them because they don't have to go back again. Okay, being chosen affects them. Unfortunately, it affects them wrongly, but there's something about that. I gotta say this. You've heard me talk about it years ago. One of Jane's stepbrothers, you remember that he adopted 2 children from China. You remember the story that one of them was a baby that they found underneath a bridge. One of them was a baby that was left on the orphanage doorstep, had a red sock on its foot. Do you remember that? Do you remember that story? But they went there two times, spent a whole pile of money, adopted two Chinese, little Chinese boys. They both had medical issues because in China, nobody wants to give a boy away, right? I mean, boys over there are gold. Girls, they abort. Girls, they give away. You can get a zillion Chinese girls because no one wants them. The boys, they keep, unless they have a physical defect. And if they have a physical defect, both of these boys had physical defects. They went over, they got the boys, brought them back, did the surgeries, how many, 10 surgeries, 12 surgeries, whatever they needed to do. They had the means to do that. But they went over, they chose those boys, pulled them out of the orphanage, and brought those boys back. And can I just say to you, those boys' lives will be absolutely transformed because out of the mass of people in that orphanage, they were chosen by Jane's stepbrother. The simple fact of their choosing changed their entire life. They experienced surgery that they would have never had. They experienced prosperity in food they would have never had. They experienced education they would have probably never got. They probably experienced love from two parents in a healthy home that they would have never got. They probably experienced growing up in a home that they would have never got. They probably experienced opportunities in school and in university, and opportunities in music. They probably experienced all, they're going to experience all of these things they would have never had. Simply why? Because they were chosen. I got to tell you before we really get into this, and I want you to hear this really clearly. Psychology has done studies on all these things. If I were to come to you and I were to give you a compliment on something that you did, I would look at you and go, man, you did a great job shoveling that sidewalk. Man, you did a great job baking that pie. What they say is when you compliment someone based on something they do, it has a value of about 1 out of 10. If I came to you and I complimented you on who you are, I said, I got to tell you, you are one of the most faithful people that I know. I got to tell you, you are just so incredibly kind and gracious. If I came to you and I said, I got to tell you, I love who God made you. I just love who you are. If I complimented you at the level of who you are as compared to what you do, the impact of that is a 10 out of 10. Now, I don't even want to ask you how many of us grew up in homes where we weren't complimented, but if you were complimented, how many of you received a compliment based on what you did? But the truth is, how many of us grew up and had compliments about who we were? 10 out of 10 level compliments. Lots of us didn't have that. I got to tell you, when you develop a relationship with the Lord, and I had to grow into this too, I remember when the Lord did a major shift in my life, and the Lord didn't come to me and talk to me about things that I did. He wasn't so impressed with what I did. He's still not impressed with what I do. I don't hear a lot of compliments about what I do. Can I tell you what I hear from the Lord? I hear 10 out of 10 statements where the Lord looks at me, says things about me, and it's a 10 out of 10 impact in my life. When God began doing that to me, I had to begin changing who I was, changing the way I spoke to my kids, changing the way I relate to my spouse, moved it off of performance praise and affirmation to person affirmation. I want you to think, how many people in the body of Christ, how many people in the church do you think wake up every morning and one of the first thing that hits them is, I am chosen by Almighty God. I've been chosen. Can I tell you what you already know? If I was the enemy, I would make sure that you never discover the way God sees you. You would never know the truth about who you are. If I was the enemy, I would make sure that the inside picture you have of yourself is completely perverted from the way God sees you, because the truth is, if you begin seeing yourself the way God sees you, you might become dangerous. You might actually become free. You might actually get to a point where you love yourself. you might actually come to a place where you begin to see other people the way God sees them and begin loving them the way God loves them. You actually might become a little Jesus on the earth here, and things will begin changing around you. If I'm the enemy, I'm going to make sure you don't see yourself the way God sees you. I want to paint something for you this morning, the way the Lord did with this with me, because it's just so there, especially in the Christian world. If I said to you, I want you to think about one people group that, if I was to say, a chosen race, who instantly comes into your mind? The Jew, the Israel. I don't think it would matter where you go all over the world. I don't think it would matter. I wouldn't do it in a Muslim country because you may see Jesus right after. But if I went anywhere and I said, if I say to you, chosen race, give me the race that would be, I'll bet you 99 out of 99 would say the Jew. Right? The Jew. We look at the Jew, scripturally we understand it, as believers we understand it, but for some reason, all down through time, the Jewish people have become known as the chosen people. Now, where did it begin? Okay, we know this, Bible history. God comes down, speaks to a guy by the name of Abram. Says, Abram, I want you to take your wife, your family. I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans, leave your pagan family. I want you to go to a place. I'm not telling you where you're going, but just trust me, go somewhere, and it's going to be a city that I'm going to build. And so Abraham leaves, and he says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. He goes, but I'm choosing you, Abraham. I'm setting you apart, and I'm going to choose you to bring something into the world. Ultimately, Jesus came. I want to ask you a question. If you and I were to answer the question and say, the Jewish people being a chosen people, chosen by God, and I want to throw this on the side. I don't have it in here, but I just want to throw it on the side. Does it make a difference who chooses you? Does it make a difference? Don't raise your hand, men. How many of you men had a young lady come to you before you were married, and she wanted to date you, and you had zero interest in her? It's like, I'm not interested in you at all. I could not see myself being married to you. I am not attracted to you. I don't like your... You don't say these things to her, right? But I mean, it's all in there. It's like, I'm not even flattered the fact that you would like to go out. That doesn't flatter me at all. In fact, it's like, girl, go home. Right? You can talk in your own sermon, babe. Just back off, would you? Just back off. Who's ushering today? You did not do your job. Like, she got in. But you know what I'm saying, right? When you have the prom queen, when you have the number one girl on the cheerleader squad, when you have the one that when she's walking by, the football team drops the football, they stand there and their head goes like this. When you have that one come to you and she says, would you take me to the dance tonight? When you are chosen by that, does it make a difference who chooses you? You bet it does. And so what I want you to get into your head is, because of your where we are at, when Almighty God comes and makes a decision to choose, there is no higher level. Can I just say that? But I want you to answer a question with me. If we were to look at and say, the Jew is the chosen race, give me some of the attributes of them being a chosen race. What did they experience as part of the chosen race? God's favor. Absolute favor. Prosperity, deliverance, keep going, healing, blessing. I'm going to put that at the top here because that really is the big one. Give me, break it down. Say again. Persecution. Patricia, you're not working with me. I'm going to leave that off because I'm looking at the positive, right? The Word of God, that's good. Promises. Yep. We'll do healing, and I'm going to put in there / health. That's right. Can I just say to you, just off on the side, God's will is not for you for healing. That's not God's will. That's His secondary will. His will for you and I is health. If we walk in divine health, we don't need healing, right? So some of you need to change your confession and just go, God, your will for me is divine health. That's what I'm believing for. That's what I confess over my body. My youth is being renewed. My mind is getting sharper. My hearing is getting better. My eyes are getting better. Every cell in my being is coming underneath the anointing. 120 years, if an elephant can do it, God said, you can do it, right? Give me some of the attributes of being chosen, being chosen. Glory. And really what you're talking about is the presence of God with the people, right? Huh. Divine inventions. Creativity. Say it again, Polly. Specific direction. Yeah, I'm gonna do that different. I'm gonna go divine direction. That's good. Divine timing. Expansion. Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Say again. Victory. And I'm going to put behind that success. The head. Intelligence. Real estate. Is that what you said? Yep. Protection. Do I have that somewhere? Nope. Huh? Honor. Relationship. Miracles. Abundance. Huh? Promised land. Yeah, we could do joy. Yeah. Could we go on, guys? Could we go on? Okay, so I just want to get this here. If we understand to be a chosen race, chosen by God, if we understand when God chooses you, that something different begins to happen in your life because you are under God's choosing, all of these things take place in your life. Do we look and go, to be a chosen people is a big deal? Is it a big deal? It is so big that God said, when I choose you, I want to bless you in such a way so that other people will look at you and they will be jealous of you, a jealousy toward me, not a jealousy to wipe you off the face of the earth. But we know the enemy getting in there. There is no other nation that is hated, that has been so attacked, that people outwardly still on the news, in their media, go, we hate them and we're going to annihilate every one of them. It's hard to believe that still exists today. But the truth is, when you live under the blessing, when you live under the chosenness, that you're going to have both. Now, I want you just really quickly... Can you shoot up on the screen? Who's back? Cassandra, can you just shoot up on the screen? I want to just ask you one question. Why did God choose the Jew? Why did he choose them? Can you show up Deuteronomy 7:7, Cassandra? I want you to see this. Did he choose them because they were smart? No, they were not smart, and his choosing made them smart. Did he choose them because they were strong? No, they were not strong, but with his choosing, he made them strong. Did he choose them because they were honest? No, he chose them, and then he sought to make them honest, and we could talk about that later. Say it again. The promises to the patriarch? Yeah, beginning with Abraham, and then after? Yeah. Because they were the fewest. So just look at this. And I love it at the very beginning. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath to your forefathers that he redeemed you from slavery from the power of Pharaoh. So why did he choose them? Not because they're the most numerous, not because they're the most strong, not because they were the smartest, not the Lord chose them because he loved them. And let me just say this. When you choose something weak and you do something amazing through it, who gets the glory? I told you some time ago, and you know the story. When I first came to Camrose, I got kicked out of seminary, didn't finish my master's degree, came to Camrose, began in a church of about 20 people. The word very quickly spread in town that Colin was in town, and he did not graduate from seminary, and so he doesn't have his master's degree. And the word very quickly came that because he's not ordained, the church won't come to anything. I went to God with that. How many of you know that sticks and stones you can heal from, but words have a tendency to hurt you? I went to God with that because the word was the church is going to go nowhere because he's not ordained. I went to God and I said, God, what do I do with that? Do you remember this? And the Lord said to me very clearly, he goes, Colin, he goes, when I move through this church and things happen, everybody will know it's not you because you're not ordained. They'll know it's me. That settled me completely. At that point, I was no longer concerned about not being ordained, and I was no longer concerned about what they were saying about me. He was going, when everybody says it can't happen because of you, if something happens, they'll know it wasn't you. And I'll get the glory. I thought, God, that's what we're all about here. Exactly the same with the Jewish people. He goes, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to release all of these things because of my chosenness in your life. When it begins to happen through you, when you begin going into battle and there's only 300 of you against 120,000 and you win, who are they going to know did it? When famine hits a place and everybody else, their crops fail, but you, your little place, and all of your crops are bumper and you're getting 100-fold, who's going to get the glory? Let me just say what you already know. The Bible says that the moment you and I come to Christ, that now we get the blessings of what? Of who? Galatians 3. The moment you and I come to Christ, it says this, Jesus became a curse for you in order that you might receive the blessings of who? That you might receive the blessing of the chosen one and the chosen people, that all of this will come across and land on you. Now, just for the sake of getting this out there again, and you're going to chew more on it, if I say this word to you, I want you to just raise your hand if you know just clearly what I'm talking about. Replacement theology. Just raise your hand if you understand replacement theology. Just raise your hand high, would you? Okay? Some of you do. I never understood it for years. Heard about it, never understood it. This is what replacement theology says. Replacement theology says that the Jewish people were God's chosen people. God released his blessing over the people. When Jesus came, and all of a sudden there was a new covenant, and when you put your faith in Jesus, what replacement says is no longer are the Jewish people chosen, but now those people who walk in faith in Jesus, they are now the chosen people, and the Jews no longer are. The church has replaced the Jewish nation. That's probably the simplest version of replacement theology. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand to go, how many of you believe that? It's been replaced. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you believe the Jews are still the chosen people? I want to make something really clear, and I'm not going to read it to you for time's sake. If you ever get a chance to read the book, The Last Hour, by Amir Sarfati, you can ask Jane about it. She listens to him on the podcast. He is one who comes out of the Israeli military. He is sharing things that nobody else is sharing, what's going on in Israel. 2 minutes after the Israelis attack the Syrians, they're releasing bombs. He's online and he's talking about the whole event, talking about the Russian response, talking about things you and I will never hear in CNN, CBC, even on Fox News. He's talking about stuff as a Jew, as a born-again Jew, talking about what's happening in the Middle East. He's got the pulse. He's got the pulse on. He makes this statement, and I love the way he lays it out. He goes, the promise of God on the Jewish people to be a chosen people, he goes, that promise does not fade away. He goes, they're still a chosen people. God chose to use them to bring Jesus into the world. God chose that people in order to bring the Word of God into the world. God still has his blessing on those Jewish people. The entire world is going to be evangelized during the tribulation because of the Jewish people, 144,000 going out. It is the only nation in the world that the Bible says the entire nation is going to be saved. That's the only nation it talks about in the world. Unfortunate they have to go through the tribulation. Unfortunate all of that's going to come out during that time. But this is the nation that God is going to win the entire nation over. But then he makes this statement. Do not make the mistake in thinking that a Jewish person will be saved under the old covenant. They're not saved because they're Jewish. They're not saved because they sacrifice. They're not saved because they're going to build the third temple. They're not saved doing it the old way. They're the chosen people, but they still need to receive salvation through Christ. Powerful distinction. You're going to hear both ends of the spectrum in the church. There are those who go, the Jew is saved because they're Jewish. And you're going to hear, they're no longer the chosen people because the church has replaced them. That's both ends of the spectrum. Can I tell you, it's right in the middle. They were God's chosen people. They're still God's chosen people, but they'll only be saved by coming to Christ. And they will come to Christ. But I want you to get this picture. And you can look at this when you are home alone. This is my picture of a tree. Art was not my strength in school, just so you know. The Bible says this, that this is God, or in the New Testament says this is Jesus. The Jew was a branch in the olive shoot. The Bible says that many of the Jews have been broken off out of unbelief. But in the New Testament, you and I, through faith in Christ, have been grafted in. And it says, if we have been grafted in and experienced the blessing of chosenness in our life, God can take that which is broken off and it doesn't have to be one of the other guys. We can be grafted into the blessing, grafted into the chosenness, grafted into being the people chosen by God. Now here's the question I want to ask you. Can you imagine for a moment if you woke up and had a revelation and said, I'm waking up, I'm a chosen race. I'm in this world, but I'm an alien. I'm in this world, the blessing that rested on the Jew, that blessing rests on me, but even more than that blessing because of Jesus. And you begin going through the list and you go, are you serious, God, that because I'm chosen by you, that divine inventions, creativity, and we could just go down, all of that is on me because I'm chosen? Can you imagine? Why is it that a pile of believers still struggle with depression? Why is it that a pile of believers still struggle with low self-worth and esteem? Why is it that a pile of believers still struggle with unworthiness? Can I tell you partly why? Because the revelation that you and I are a chosen race because of Jesus, and all of this attributes of being chosen is yours and mine. If I'm the enemy, I'm going to make darn sure you don't ever get a revelation of that, because it might change you. I just want to say one thing quick on the side before I wrap up. The moment you are chosen, not because you're good looking, not because you're tall, not because you're smart, not because you have a pile of money, no other reason. You're only chosen, like he said to the Jew, you're chosen not because you are big and strong. You're chosen because I love you. Can I ask you this? When you become chosen, how much arrogance can you develop inside of you? If I earned it, I'll be arrogant. And that is why probably men struggle with that more than women, because we're created to work, created to produce. We do it by the strength of our arm. Whatever we have, we did it. I feel good about me because I performed, and look what I can do. That's why I think it's difficult coming to a point where you go, you know what? I have worth and esteem not because of what I've done. I've got worth and esteem because of what he's done. But when you get a revelation that you have been chosen by Almighty God, not because of a single thing you did, but because of his love for you, his grace and mercy on you, can I ask you, does that make you arrogant or does that make you humble? A revelation of his chosenness is probably the greatest foundation for you and I to walk in humility that you could ever get. I want you to chew on that. When God began laying this out for me, he said, Cole, he said, can you imagine this Christmas if every one of my children got a revelation that they are the chosen race and all that it means to be chosen is theirs? He goes, what kind of a gift would that be? And I went, wow, God. If that was the only one we opened up under the tree, that would be enough. God's going, I got three more. Chosen race, a chosen people. I got to do one last verse before we get into this. Cassandra, can you shoot up John 15:16? John 15:16. And I encourage you to look this up when you're at home again. This is the passage. I want to go back just a little bit. We know this one, greater love has no man, beginning of verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Verse 16, listen to this. You did not choose me. You did not choose me. Jesus is looking at his disciples. He spent time, he chose 12 disciples, surrounded him. Now he's looking at him going, you did not choose me. He goes, I chose you. Have you ever heard the old statement where a guy says, man, I chased her until she caught me? Did you ever hear that? Some of you will get that later too. Can I just ask you, what does it mean? Where he goes, you didn't choose me. It wasn't you who made a decision to receive me into your life, and now all of a sudden faith is there, and now all of a sudden you, he goes, that wasn't, you didn't choose me. Don't think it was you who made a decision to choose me. He's going, I want you to understand something. I chose you. There's a crazy verse I want you to look at in the scripture we're not going to get into today. He goes, but before the foundation of the world, I chose you. Before you were born, I chose you. Before I created the earth, I chose you. He's going, you're walking with me today. You have a relationship with me. You prayed to receive me as Lord and Savior. He's going, but I just want you to have it clear. You weren't the one who chose me. That wasn't the initiation. The initiation was, I came to you. I created you. I pursued you. I put inside of you a hunger for me. I put inside of you a willingness to even hear someone talk about me. I put in a curiosity so that you would begin to stir up. I brought you to a point where you recognized you needed me. I brought you to a place where you had the faith. I gave it to you for you to receive me. He goes, I chose to do that with you long before you ever chose me. Can you imagine for a moment getting a revelation that God chose you? I can't give that to you. I wish I could. But I want to say to you what the Lord said to me, Call. I want you to challenge them, if they are willing, to immerse themselves in the truth of my choosing, get into my word, chew their cud on that until it becomes a revelation. You wake up and go, I am a chosen race. Can you imagine for a moment if after a couple years somebody came to town and they said, we just want to do a survey. Could you tell us, is there a people group, or is there a church? Is there somebody in this town that if I were to say to you, chosen people, is there someone that just instantly pops to your mind? Can you imagine for a moment if someone said, oh yeah, that's easy. The people who go to Solid Rock, that's easy. They're chosen. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine in my community, in my neighbor surrounding, somebody goes and says, is there anybody in your area that just seems to live with unusual favor, unusual blessing? Everything works. Their life, their marriage, their kids. Is there anybody that just pops to your mind? They go, oh yeah. That Hulk family around the corner, I don't know why. Everything just works good for them. Their marriage is amazing. Their kids are like, look at them. Look at all the attributes. Look at all the attributes of chosenness. They all say, they never get sick. They never get sick. Can you imagine if that was what popped into people's mind when you asked them, does anybody come to mind about being blessed, chosen, faith? Oh yeah, that Hulk family. Or they say your name. I believe the heart of the Father is that even in today, people aren't going, you know, if you talk about a chosen race, I believe he's not going, no, the Jew. I believe the Jew will come up, but he's going, you know, those followers of Jesus. In this world where everything goes bad, these followers of Jesus, why, everything goes good. Their businesses, they're smart, they're influential, they're healthy. We're chosen by nobody higher. There's nobody who could be higher than the one who chose. You're chosen. That changed an entire race of people. Will it change us? The Father said, call. It's my gift to the people today, that they'll receive it. Dana, would you come? Worship team, would you bow with me for a moment? Father, I don't know how long it took Abraham to get the revelation inside of himself that because of you, that there was something different about him. I don't know if it was when his cattle began to prosper and multiply unusually that he goes, whoa, there's something different now that I'm in relationship with you. I don't know when it was, but Father, I know that it was that it got into him and he began to see himself different because of your choosing. Father, that is what you wanted for us. Holy Spirit, when you inspired Peter to write to the believers, you are a chosen race. Holy Spirit, it was you who needed to open the mind and allow us to see ourselves the way you see us. I release that grace over every person under the sound of my voice today. I release the revelation that we are a chosen people. The revelation that every attribute of chosenness is on us because of what Jesus did. I release the revelation that we are not chosen because we chose Him. We're revelation that He chose us and imparted it to us because of His great love. I release a grace this week, the grace of chewing our cud on the truth that we are a chosen people. Seal what you have done here today. I declare over you that you already know that the Lord has blessed you and He's keeping you. Because you are chosen, the Lord has caused His face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. Because you are chosen, He has lifted up His countenance upon you and He has filled you full of His peace. You are a chosen race. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody daring to believe it said, amen. Would you stand with us this morning? We need to sing that song. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.